Welcome to The Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I'm Matt Cato, currently on sabbatical from St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California.
I'm Zach Paris, freelance preacher, citizen of the universe.
Whew, it is July 16th.
Isn't it?
Sunday that we're preparing for.
Oh, yeah.
And when we get to that Sunday, we'll be celebrating a great Wild Goose live podcast that we will have done the day before.
Oh, I forgot I had that sound on the soundboard.
Whew. Well done. Yeah, midsummer. I'll also be 42.
Midsummer. In the Scandinavian sense?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Is this the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy year? Is that a thing?
I don't know. I've never read that.
6 times 8 = 42 is the answer to the meaning of life, according to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I've heard that. Have you read that?
I have not, but I learned about it in middle school and was really annoying to teachers and stuff about it.
Good.
I watched the film. Wow. I enjoyed the film. The film was good.
Oh, I didn't see them. When did the film come out?
Oh, gosh. I was probably in college. The aughts? Early aughts?
Interesting.
There's an excellent musical number. Dolphins are the most intelligent species on the planet, according to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And it's about the end of the world, and one day the dolphins disappear because they know that things are about to be bad. And there's a musical number as they leave, a song called So Long and Thanks for All the Fish. It's pretty good. And it's a catchy number.
Good.
We'll put it on the playlist this week.
Maybe. Well, should we dive into the texts?
Let's do it. I got T4T right away.
There's not much NBA news to cover. We're in the slow season. Got nothing else. Isaiah 55. Again, popular text. This is Isaiah 55 is one of the visual texts. I don't think this is a part of it, though. Maybe it cuts off earlier than this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. But connected, Isaiah 55 is a familiar chapter. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. And the mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. I've got a joke. I know there's a joke in here somewhere about whether Isaiah can or cannot drive 55. And so I just want to acknowledge that before we move on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Who is that? Sammy Hagar?
I think it is. Yeah.
Man.
Over our 400-ish episodes, his featured prominently in the playlist. I'm sure many, many times.
Oh, well, it's a pretty text. Got some beautiful imagery in here.
Pretty again. We're hanging up all these pretty pictures this summer all around the church.
Yeah, rain and snow, growing things. My church has a song that I don't think I had heard it before I came to St. Mark's, but it's a sending song that goes, you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. And it's right from this text. It's a nice little tune. I don't know you can use it to preach on, with some summer themes of growth during this ordinary time. And we'll see how it connects to the gospel too. I think it's going to have a pretty strong connection, it looks like. But sometimes you just need that poetic imagery.
We're continuing with some like post-exilic vibes with our prophets here during the summer. So again, post-exilic, everything's great. We are the champions style sort of vibes to the prophets these days. The connection I think is neat and interesting here. If you're looking for a creation-y thing and the very substantial element of substancy, sort of element of the gospel is material. It is material in the creation, right? Not over and above, which tied back to last week, if you worried about deeds and doers, right? Like here and now in the snow and the rain, which by the way, Matt, like, you know, sometimes like it's that disconnect, right? Like as people who have a significant experience living in the West, right? Rain and snow can like sometimes I think within the culture be perceived as like just pretty things, right? Just ornamental. But it turns out we need rain or snow to live, right? They're essential yeah. parts of life. And if we don't have them, as it turns out, everything burns down, or you don't have water to drink. And humans need that, right? The sower, like the negative of this, you flip this, the inverse of this text is pretty bleak, right? If you don't have those things. And this text is, I think, proclaiming this good news in a world in which that's a possibility, or it has been the known possibility, like the known reality of the people too. So don't leave that part of the history behind.
Yeah. 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 We had a good thunderstorm here last night, which I'm not used to the summer thunderstorms in LA, but it is a thing out here. And everybody said, oh, we really needed that rain, which is a thing that you hear. Oh, we really needed that rain. It's good.
No, we needed it.
It's good.
I've moved to a temperate rainforest, Matt. It rains, has rained like every day.
Oh my gosh.
Literal temperate rainforest.
Brought my rain jacket. Now, when you drove into North Carolina, Zach, I just want to know, did the mountains and hills burst into song before you? Did the trees clap their hands?
The trees were clapping. The mountains and hills were a little more subdued, but the trees, the ant people greeted me.
The ant
at the Tennessee state line.
Good.
And they clapped their hands. It was very slow, but I could tell what's happening. Matthew 13, we're finding some classics here in the middle of Matthew. Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. That sounds like a lovely day for Jesus. Just a day at the beach.
Yeah.
He had plans and they did not work out because such great crowds. He just had his Michael Crichton book, his summer read, just like,
right?
Because what happened for me, Matt, I'm sure we've talked about it. I was not 13 yet. My parents had a strict, you could only watch PG-13 films when you're 13 rule, unless it turned out I could watch Jurassic Park if I read the book first. So I vividly remember reading it on the beach that time, and so that I could watch the movie.
The book's much more brutal than the movie.
Yep. Such great crowds gathered around him and his summer reading that he got into a boat. So he's like, hey, it's okay. I got a boat, baby. We're going to have a boat day. And sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path. And the birds came along and they ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And they had no root, so they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, though, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then, a new paragraph, he's got to explain it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises, as it always does, on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. But as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares of the world and the lure of wealth, and it chokes the word, and yields nothing. But as for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields it, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30, the good news of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This is just my pet peeve, Matt, right? Like, I feel like we have an addition here, right? That the parable went around and that people were uncomfortable with the unexplained parable. And so they came up with an explanation for it and that got stuck in. That is not based on research in any way. It's based solely on my intuition Because and I don't love it, right? Like, let the parable be a parable. Let the metaphor be a metaphor. You know, it's not like Carly Rae Jepsen writes a hit song and then goes to genius.com and annotates the note, like the lyrics, to explain what the metaphors all stand for. Like, that's not a thing. It works better as art more powerfully when you just let it be its own thing. So there's my little soapbox tirade against the Bible itself.
Against the Bible itself. Oh, wow. Wow. Well, a good classic summer text here with the birds and growing things. And, you know, again, one of these well-known texts. And how to give it a different angle. I mean, once again, I like what you said about water earlier with that Old Testament text. Maybe weave that in again as well. Yeah. What new to say about this?
I mean, my go-to move on this text is that God is a very bad farmer. Right? Like, you and I both know this. We've both spent time with farming communities of rural Nebraska, right? And it's crazy, right? They use satellites to, like, drive the tractor. They just sit in them, right, while the satellites drive the tractors around so that all the seed goes in the best places, and they play all the odds, and they squeeze every bit of effectiveness they can out of the earth, right? And Jesus here is telling a parable where God is just randomly throwing seeds around. And I think, you know, go back to the siege of Leningrad, St. Petersburg, whatever it was called back then. John Green in the Anthropocene Review tells that story about the seed library and the folks who starved to death protecting the seed library. You know, seeds are really valuable. There's also that story about the family that fled the Bolshevik Revolution and ended up in Siberia. And one time it, like, snowed 6 feet in June, and they called the 50s, like, the hard years because their crop failed and they had to grow back there. Like, they didn't have access to seeds because the only seeds they had were ones that they, like, propagated themselves. And so, like, they grew back their seed supply from, like, three stalks of barley or something, like, crazy. They're precious things, right? Like, they,
yeah,
that especially ancient people would not have been so indiscriminate with. You know, you can't go to your Burpee catalog or to Home Depot or whatever, right? Like,
yeah,
these things aren't everywhere.
Yep.
And the God here throws, there's no questioning. The sower is unquestioned here in this story. The seed falls everywhere.
Yeah. 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 The seeds are precious things. It's probably late in the game for your summer sermon series. But when we had the creation,
mid-July is the perfect time to start.
It's time to start.
Were I a regular professional preacher, I would start a summer series on July 16th.
It's a good idea. When the creation story was up on Holy Trinity Sunday, we read that creation story. I was really struck by the line that God brought all these plants with the seed in it. Like, and it mentioned with the seed in it multiple times, which was such an interesting that I've read that story a million times and have never been so drawn to, like, with the seed in it.
It answers the chicken and egg question. The chicken came with the egg.
With the egg. Yeah. Yeah. So I read the text in worship that Sunday, and then the bishop preached on it for me, and she picked up what I was laying down and said that God always includes the seeds of the next creation in the current creation, which was something I hadn't thought about that image before. But I think, yeah, there's a lot you can run with those seeds for sure.
Cool. What are you listening to?
Well, I see you've got a bunch of Too Much songs on your list. So I'll start you off with U2's Numb, which has the line "Too much is not enough" as one of the repeated. Ooh. That's a very strange song, but "Too much is not enough, I feel numb." And then with these planting images, I love this song. It's called "Down to Earth." It's by Peter Gabriel and the Soweto Gospel Choir, and it's the song that plays over the end credits at the end of WALL-E. It's so good. It's just so good. And then finally, when I see that rocky ground here, I think of the Bruce Springsteen song that's called Rocky Ground. We've been traveling over rocky ground. It's from his Wrecking Ball album, which was in the 2010s, one of those years. But it's a,
he did
it's
that
a nice
with Miley
song.
Cyrus.
Check it out.
Great.
I don't think so, but
I do. Matt, spoilers. I got too much songs because it's such a extravagance. Both these texts are really extravagant, right? So I got too much. And obviously, shout out to regular listener and real time critique texter Radam Burnt. Too much. The Dave Matthews Band off of just an incredible album. Is it Crash? Is that the name of the album? It's red and kind of purpley. Too much. Check it out. Is that Crash or is it under the? I don't know.
Someone's got to write it.
I think it's on
Crash.
So listeners got to help us out. Then Florence and the Machine have Too Much Is Never Enough, which is a good one. And then I found a bop, Matt. I found a bop. I didn't know about it. I was just looking up Too Much songs. Too Much, Carly Rae Jepsen. Oh, like 5 years ago. It's pretty good. It's good. Check it out.
She is really good. She's an underrated pop star for sure. Good stuff. Good playlist.
Indeed.
It's been real.
Real vinyl. I said it right, didn't I? Sure, we'll figure it out.
Ooh.